Christmas mug.
Oh, it's part Christmas, part Atari Space Invaders.
Nice. Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Yes, I'm here with my Space Invaders mug, drinking tea.
That's pretty hardcore, man.
Oh, man, just as hardcore as a grandmother. I don't know. That's pretty hardcore.
Nice, nice. So, so what's new with you this week? We haven't talked in about a week now. It's been an actual week.
Yeah,
not actually, one of those fake weeks when we pretend that a week has gone by, but actually it's only been like, what, 2 days?
Yeah.
Real week this time.
Real actual week. There's one thing I love about December is that things just fly by. You know, I was sitting there at work today and everybody is just, it's like, I don't know if you have it probably at your old job, not necessarily at your current position, but,
a jab.
No, it's not. It's just like office. I'm just saying office work in general. You know how people are setting up meetings and everyone's like, Christmas vacation's always on their mind. So whenever a meeting comes up, it's like, oh, well, you know, we should schedule that 242 meeting at the second floor boardroom for the ASAP meeting. And, well, let's just push that to the new year. And you have yourself a Merry Christmas or a Happy Hanukkah or whatever you do. And I'm going to need those TPS reports on my desk by Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that doesn't happen at my job.
So it's been really laid back, but still not a lot of time for gaming, you know. And I haven't started my Christmas shopping yet. I don't know about you.
Oh, no.
I haven't started.
I'm like halfway done. I had my mom done like back in November. Pretty much right before right before I left for Ontario, I did all my mom. And then I had some stuff I did when I was in Ontario. I have Joel like 3/4 the way done. I find there's so many things that I want to get for everybody that I'm just like, no, you have $0. You literally cannot buy this or you will not eat.
Yeah, I don't know. I just suck at Christmas. I love it. I love Christmas. But
I suck at Christmas.
I can't buy people things and I can't tell people what I want. It's like I'm impossible. I'm like a child.
You are the worst. You're like my dad. It's like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? Socks. Dad, what do you want for your birthday? Socks. Dad, what do you want for anything ever? Socks.
He goes through a lot of socks. What is he doing?
I decided this year that I was just going to get, I didn't actually do this because that would be total spoilers for Christmas because I know my non-techie dad totally watches every show that I do. Anyways, I was just going to get like a big, huge box and like fill it with like dollar store socks and be like, now you can never ask me for socks again. Get better at giving me ideas. Except that he would probably just love the big box of socks.
Well, there you go. You should get the gift that keeps on giving, a giant box of socks. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but you remember when we did a survey for, it was Club Nintendo, and I had asked the users what I should order. That was like in June or July, I think.
It was.
Everyone said I should get the Peach, the Princess Peach calendar or something. I can't remember. It was girly.
I wonder why.
People weren't being helpful. But anyways, I went for the card set, and this is the card set here. This is the
first
time.
Whoa. Hang on.
What?
You polled the masses and then did not go with what they told you to do?
The masses told me to
The masses are not going to they're not gonna respond to you anymore, Ryan.
All right, well.
Hold, faith of the masses.
Hold your judgment and just get a look at this epic card set here. So you got, it's all like, they're plastic cards, and I'll just hold one up. Oh, the Joker is Bowser. That's pretty badass. Yeah. It's like plasticky. So they're like actually good. They're a good set of cards, right? And they're like, you know, they're pretty decent. And I spent hundreds of dollars on Nintendo software and hardware.
Just to get those cards.
To get this set of epic cards. So you know what? Nintendo haters, let's see your Xbox and your Sony machine send you a deck of cards. Free shipping.
For hundreds of dollars.
It was free shipping.
Yeah. Well then, totally worth it.
Oh yeah. I'm going to use these probably never because right here on my desk
nobody plays cards anymore.
My Fable 3 card set.
Oh, nice.
Sitting on my desk still, so probably not going to get used.
No, never. So we have a very exciting, very quick announcement before we jump into what we're playing. The Gamers Inn, starting in the new year, will, first of all, be recording at a regular time again. Yay! which will be Friday nights at 8:30 Eastern Time. Every Friday at 8:30, I promise.
Right after the final score.
Yes, right after the final score, which is fantastic. Great timing. Mm-hmm. And that is because we have been picked up by the A-Move TV network. So we will be rubbing elbows with This Week in Blizz and the StarCast. So I am very excited about this, and Garrett is very excited, and Ryan, I'm sure, is very excited. So, yes, look for us on A-Move TV. We will be broadcasting through Twitch again, which is really exciting because this whole Google Hangout thing is not working quite as well.
Don't say that. We're still on Google Plus Hangouts. They're going to kick us off mid-show.
Everything just goes black. But we will still be uploading all of our videos to YouTube, so you can catch us on YouTube if that's where you are currently consuming The Gamers In. And our website won't change, our iTunes feed won't change, nothing will change except for the fact that we will be part of a network, so I'm very excited.
We're all very excited. I was very excited when I heard this. For people who don't know, the shows on the network currently, we have StarCat, well, not we, but... they have StarCast. It's like, I'm already part of the family. StarCast, This Week in Blizz, and Biggest Fan Cast, Fanboys?
Biggest Fan.
Oh, okay. Well, so, shit, I should have stopped there.
Yeah.
All great shows. I have personally listened to BlizzCast. StarCast.
You are rocking it tonight, man.
Man.
You're so excited. You're getting all stuttery.
Announcing next week, so. We are no longer part of it. I'm just kidding.
You ruined it.
Garrett, if you're listening, I'm very sorry. Just, yeah, like Jocelyn said, very nervous. But yeah.
Fail.
Yeah.
So anyways, This Week in Blizz is one of my favorite shows. I absolutely love it. StarCast has been around forever. Biggest Fan. They've already hit their 100th episode a couple months ago. So we are in some amazing company. Very flattered. And on that note, I'm just not going to let Ryan talk anymore. And I'm going to start talking about what we're playing, which for me this week was The Walking Dead. So
finally.
I know. And, you know, I'm halfway through now. I have 20 of 40 achievements, and you don't actually have to do anything for the achievements except for complete the chapters. So there are 6 chapters in each episode. There are 5 episodes in the game in total, and you have to, which adds up to 30, so that doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it's...
Oh, and then you get one for completing the episode, I think. So that's...
gives 35. You,
anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter. There's...
And then they give you 5 somewhere in there for some odd reason.
Yeah, there's some 5 random ones. So yeah, and kind of at the conclusion of each chapter is a big decision that you have to make. And we should probably stop right now and say full-on spoilers. So we will be totally spoiling The Walking Dead. So if you have not seen it, if you've not played it, sorry, this is the game, not the TV show. So yeah, we will be completely spoiling everything up until halfway through episode 3, which I'm starting spoiler mode now. We will be spoiling everything up until you find the train. That is where I left off.
Cool.
Ryan has played the entire game, correct?
Yes, and in the end... No, I'm just kidding.
yeah. Oh, dude. Would have strangled you for that.
Through the internet. They have that now. Internet strangling. Let's move on.
God. Okay, so I think I'm just going to talk for an hour so that Ryan can't actually get a word in because it's really going well.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I want to hear whether you liked it or not.
Well, okay.
It's got the zombies in it, so I'm not really.
No, like... I like the zombies. There's actually not that many zombies. It's very story driven, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I very much like the story. I like what they've done with the universe. I like that you kind of get bits and pieces of the main Walking Dead TV show and comic. Like, you're in the same area as the main characters from that, but you're not just playing through their story, like the story that you've seen in 2 different versions now, you know? So it's really, really interesting, and you find out all the same sort of things that you find out in the TV show of The Walking Dead. It's just that little bit different because you're playing different characters. So it almost feels deeper in some way. Like, I feel with the Walking Dead TV show, I'm kind of always expecting everyone to make it through. You know, like, they're all very strong characters. They all bring something to the group, you know. There's no real dead weight. fun. But in the video game, it's really different. And one thing I'm having kind of trouble grasping, I guess, is the art style. I don't like the art style. It's the same as Borderlands with the dark outlines around stuff, and then the realistic kind of textures just bring, the dark lines bring me right out of it. I don't know why. I don't know
Weird.
what it is, but that style just doesn't appeal to me. But and the other thing is, it's got this whole, it's like it's built on an engine that's really, really old or something. Because I find all the facial animation is very Sims. Like, and not Sims 3, Sims 2. You know? Like, they make expressions and it's like, my eyebrows are this high and my eyes are huge, and it's just like this flat face that goes from where their eyebrows are to where the start of their eyelids is, and it's just this, it's this weird flatness that just makes their expressions really comical in very serious situations. I'm just like,
Well, I
not so
mean,
much.
the engine that they're using is very old. From what I remember, from what I recall reading, the engine's been used for Telltale games for quite a while, maybe even all the
It's
way back to Monkey
in the
Island.
credits, it says 2002. So I'm just like, they're using a 10-year-old engine for this game. Like, that seems a little excessive, which would explain the simish quality to their faces.
I
But
mean,
you know, huge polygons.
yeah, and what
Weird.
they're able to do with the engine to display the sort of emotion on the face is, I mean, to me, was a lot better than some games. Like, I can see where you're coming from. There are some points where, like, a character's jaw will drop and it just looks kind of funny.
Like it's falling off their face or something. And it's like the mouth just becomes like a big square.
Yeah, and I mean, the Telltale games. Oh man, if you had ever played Jurassic Park by
I
Telltale,
knew you were gonna say Jurassic Park.
it is like it's sort of on par with The Walking Dead in terms of look and feel and animation, but there's no story, the gameplay blows, and it's just like the dialogue is not that great, and it really shows how bad the how old the engine is. But with The Walking Dead, it's more like, this is what we use. And then maybe, hopefully, like when we see their next game, Fables, or even Walking Dead Season 2, they'll move on to something. But they did put a lot of work into this engine, and which is why the game was announced and then came out like 2 years later. So.
One thing I really, really liked about not Mass Effect. Walking Dead, I'm going to compare it to Mass Effect, that's why I got all thrown, is that when you pick something, very, very rarely does your character say something else. Like, if you say, stop it, asshole, then your character says, stop it, asshole, not like, could you please put that down? You know, or some other, you know, paragon version of what it is that I clicked on the screen. So I find that when I make choices in conversations, it's actually the words that are going to be said. So, like, usually they elaborate and they'll say more, but it's like literally, words on the screen are the words that comes out of the character's mouth, so it's much more absorbing in that way. It's like, yes, that is what I wanted to say. Thank you very much for that, you know? So I like the conversation options a lot.
Have you run into an instance where you've de trying to decide what to say and you ran out of time and you got the dot dot dot?
I've never actually run out of time. I've been close to where they kind of start fading out. The dot 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 is always an option, but I don't think I've ever just stayed silent on anything. But I mean, you know me, when do I ever shut up, right? So I think there was a couple of times I found that the timer went down really, really quickly, and like, because they were things that were happening around, like zombies are coming and we have to say something, or you know, something's breaking through the front door. And so in those instances, I found I only had time to read like two options. I didn't make it to the third, so I just kind of hit one button really, really quick, and I wasn't even sure kind of what I chose, but better than staying silent, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a specific instance in the game. I can't remember like what was going on, but there was a discussion going on around me where they were fighting. I think it might have been,
There's a lot of that.
yeah, I think it might have been the scene where Duck, the kid, they thought he was bit at in episode one, and they're like fighting about we need to kick the kid out
When
and all he's
you
fine.
first meet the yeah, when you first meet the second group of people you group up with, because when you start, you've got yourself, and you've got this family of three, so the kid and the parents, and you've got Clementine, who I will say, generally kids in video games I find so freaking annoying. Like, they just, I don't want them around, they're just dead weight in whatever group I'm in, and they're really, really annoying. It's like, grown-ups don't know how to write for kids, so everything that comes out of their mouth is just annoying. But with Clementine, I actually find that they did a really good job of writing for her, and I'm actually bonding with her, and I want to help her, and she is always my first choice. Like, when I get food or, you know, anything, I'm always like, okay, I have to take care of this kid and then figure out everything else. So she's very much my priority, which I didn't think she was going to be. So I really, really like her. I think they did a good job of her. She gives kid-type answers without being obnoxious or annoying. Like, she's kind of quiet and reserved and grown up, but not in a non-kid way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's still a kid without being Carl. Right. God, I hate that kid.
Carl. Oh, on the show.
Carl from the show, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the kid, Clementine, or Clem, as we call her once you get really close, in the further series, like, the Telltale does a great job of building that bond, and it just gets stronger as you keep going. And I don't think your character... See, the great thing, the awful thing about this series is that it's very hard to connect with the other characters, because there's always something coming up that pushes you away.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
in order to be, like, I'm trying to think, you got to the train. I'm trying to think of where you are.
How would I tell you?
I don't want to spoil anything inadvertently.
What just happened was at the beginning, so episode one is at, what did you do in episode one? In episode one, you come pharmacy. Up on the, is that the, yeah, that is the pharmacy one. And I feel like you go through a farm in episode one, too.
You do. Yeah, you go through Herschel's farm.
So you go, right, Herschel's farm. Okay, thanks. Yeah, so you go through Herschel's farm because I was like, you meet up with them at the farm. So you go to Herschel's farm, meet up with Kenny and his wife and their kid. And then you go from Herschel's farm to the pharmacy and meet up with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little bit of kind of everybody's backstory, but it's very, very small. And then episode two is where you find they get to the motel, they stay at the motel, and then they find the second farm, which is the dairy farm with full of cannibals. And then you finish up that story, leave them, and then find the car full of food, and then go back to the motel. And then in the third one, I've gotten to the point where the bandits come, they chase you out of the motel, you take the RV and you're driving, you hit the zombie, there's this big, huge blow-up with Lily, and she's accusing the other two, the other girl, Carly, the reporter,
yeah,
and the young guy that you helped in the woods,
Ben.
Or that I helped in the woods, Ben. She's accusing them of basically giving the bandits medicine and food to make them not attack you. So there's a big blow up with them. She shoots Carly in the face. I left Lily behind. And then, really, I feel like in my Walking Dead, like, I'm literally down to, there's me, Clem, the family of three, and Ben. And that's it. Everybody else is dead or something. And I'm just like, as I'm playing through, I have this teeny tiny little group of people in this RV, and I'm like, oh my god, it's Mass Effect all over again. I am clearly bad at choices.
That's where I was when I was playing.
Oh, really? Okay,
at that
point.
So
you leave Lily behind. And then after a little bit of driving, you find out that Duck actually has been bit this time. Duck is the little kid. And they're trying to figure out kind of what to do with them. And then you come up on the train that's blocking the road. That's as far as I got.
Okay. So I will refrain from spoiling anything past that.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to make the point was, it's very hard. Let's take Kenny, for example. It's really hard to bond with that guy because he...
It's impossible.
Yeah, he does some weird things. Like, specifically the scene I'm thinking of is the old dude has a heart attack. And the first thing he wants to do is slam a cowlick on his face. And I'm like, no, dude, you try and resuscitate him, and then if you have to.
Yeah.
And I assume you did the same thing, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very hard to bond with every character in this, and I think
I think that's what
Telltale's going for.
I get that you have to choose sides and you can't be friends with everybody because everybody has different needs, especially in an apocalypse situation where there's limited resources. So I get that. But I found Kenny in particular absolutely impossible. I was like, I've known you since the beginning, dude. Like, let's stick together. You know, we're each taking care of a kid. So this should be a kid's first bonding type situation, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got Kenny. And every single time you turn around, like, I had his back in everything. And I'm like, okay, you're strong. You can handle yourself. Like, I mean, he turned his back on me in the pharmacy. He turned his back on me in the barn. Like, the only one who actually saved me over and over and over was Lily. And I wasn't even trying to, you know, be friends with her at all. You know, I kind of thought she was a space cadet nutcase. But you know, like Kenny just kept looking at me and like freezing like over and over and over and over again. And I was just like, you know what, dude, screw you. I'm done. Yeah. And then, and now he's the only one left.
Yeah. And I mean, like there's a specific, like your first major choice in the game is the first episode where on the farm, the kid has, like, first of all, this is why you don't put kids on heavy machinery, especially in the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, my God. I so saw that coming. I was just like, no, don't. Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's playing with the gear stick.
Yeah, it runs over the guy who's trapped now and hits the fence. So who did you choose, the kid or the guy who was stuck?
Joel is convinced now that I have no soul because I chose to help. I was like, screw the kid. Like, you know, this is a zombie apocalypse. Well, why would I choose to save the kid who is not going to help me at all? Because that is one of the huge problems I have with Walking Dead, the TV show, is Carl is such a douche. And he's always getting, like, shot or in trouble, and he's not listening, and he gets the group in trouble. Like, he's just dead weight who causes problems. Like, there's dead weight, and then there's somebody who actually seriously endangers the group. And I'm just like, or I can have this like mid-20s guy who clearly has a head on his shoulders, you know, is a farmhand, so he can like carry his own weight, probably literally. Yeah. And so I was just like, you know,
it's
what?
Like an ant.
Screw, exactly. So I was just like, okay, screw the kid. It's got to be the son, Herschel's son. Right. So I'm going to try to save him. And you can't save him anyway, because Kenny turns his back on you again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my understanding of that scene was like, well, I can help the kid, but, like, the kid is fine. He's not trapped. He's just freaking out. And there's no zombies.
He was getting pulled out the fence okay. But then his dad rushes in and grabs him, right?
So, yeah, like his dad.
Or at least
there.
He does if you don't choose to save him when you have no soul.
I think I played both ways. And, like, episode one, I actually played twice. But my first time I played and actually stuck with, I saved the guy because I figured, well, his dad's right there. Grab the kid. Like, what?
I didn't even think that. I was just like, meh, kid's dead anyway. Well,
he argues with you right after. Like, you should have grabbed the kid. If you're going to be with me, you got to be on my side no matter what. And I'm like, you were right there.
You grabbed your kid. It was fine.
If I would have went for the kid, you would have just stood there and acted all like, thanks for grabbing my kid. And then the other guy would still be dead.
Yeah. Is that what happens when you go for the kid first? Is that what happens?
I don't remember for sure, but I believe, like, you try to grab
Herschel's
the kid.
Herschel's son dies regardless, right?
Yeah, yeah. Herschel's son dies no matter what you do, but I think you go to grab the kid, and then Kenny actually pushes the zombie away that was grabbing him.
Oh, okay, I see.
I think that's how it goes. But again, like, most people, I think, and that's the other thing, is that when you finish the chapter or the episode, it gives you a breakdown of all the choices. How were
it
you
does.
In comparison?
Yeah, it does. Actually, I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to screen share it. Just give me a second.
So, like, at the end of each episode, they show you each choice you made and then the percentage that everybody else made. So what you're seeing now is, I believe, episode one.
Yeah, my choices.
This is a great idea. So Doug or Carly. Obviously, I choose the chick who can fire again. I mean, who doesn't want to have another hottie on the team? Who gets?
Okay, that was totally her ability to shoot the gun. It was had nothing to do with how much of a hottie she was.
See,
I'm playing it wrong, apparently.
Well, no, everyone chose Carly. I mean, I think Carly just in the time I got to know the two characters, I preferred Carly, even though she doesn't know how to work batteries.
Okay, I didn't get that at all. My playthrough was not like that, because I only found one battery. So I guess I just didn't find the other battery. So I never had that interaction, but then they referenced it in episode 3. And he was making fun of, or like Lee, so you're the main character that you control, was making fun of Carly for not knowing how to work batteries. And he did it like 2 or 3 times. So I ended up getting the joke and figuring out what should have happened. But I was just like, I thought my choices were supposed to affect the game. So shouldn't that reflect the fact that that never happened?
Weird.
Yeah. It was really weird. Like, there's some big glitches in this game. Like, I'm glad I only paid, like, $12 for it, because I got it the Black Friday sale.
Right. I wouldn't say... I would say this game is worth the full price. I mean, there's... The glitches are... I didn't have any glitches. I mean, I found the batteries. I think that's just more a scripting thing where they just didn't do it.
No, I mean, like, I have a lot of jumpy, pausey glitches, like, weird stuff. But that could also be my computer. But then there was story. Then there were actual story glitches, and I was just like, "Yeah, okay, come on."
All right. Well, what did you think about the cannibal sort of mini story? I guess because it's sort of introduced and wrapped up. Yeah, in episode 2,
it was very obvious. So basically, what happened is you kind of. You know right off the start that something is weird with them, you know? And even, like, you know, you get to the farm and the one guy, what was the name? He randomly shows up in episode 2. I didn't see him at all in episode 1. He just kind of shows up. It's like 3 months later and there's a new dude living with you. And they're just like, oh yeah, he had food, so we let him in. And I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
The guy who ends up with his legs chopped off.
Like,
yeah, that guy.
Mark? I want to say it's Mark.
Yeah. So he's all for living there and making a little home and stuff. And they keep talking about dinner. And I'm like, okay, they either don't have any food and are just trying to get our stuff, or there's something really messed up going on here, right? And so what I thought for the longest time is that they slaughtered all the other cows because, you know, they had to eat. So I actually believe the whole slaughtering the dairy cows thing, even when I opened the back room and it was all full of blood. But yeah, I don't, like, it was interesting. It was cool. It was definitely something that was believable in an apocalypse kind of a scenario. Is just, you know, like, we have to eat. We are out of food. Like, there is absolutely nothing we can do except, oh, there's those dudes that are trying to shoot us in the woods. Why don't we shoot them first and then eat them?
Well, see, that's the thing, is they had to lure them in, because if you killed them, then the meat became
zombified.
Yeah, it just didn't, it wouldn't work. You would die. And I saw, like, I kind of figured what was going on, because the one brother in the story is perfectly normal.
He is, yeah, but the other one is messed up.
Yeah, he's like, okay, there's something wrong with this guy. He's obviously enjoying himself way too much. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing it coming, but still, like, having, like, this, like... Did you kill any of the people? Like, I think you had the choice to, like, leave the two brothers alive.
You did. You could leave the brothers alive. I killed one of the two. I killed the first brother, the really messed up guy that was, like, stroking his gun and talking about how much he loves shooting things and everything. Yeah, I killed him because he was the... what did he do? I can't remember, but I just, like, he was just a really, really creepy one.
I think, right?
He did. Oh, that's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He shot the crazy girl in the woods. I was like, you know what? Yeah, no. You see, and this is another thing that, like, I don't have a whole lot of mercy in these kind of games, too, because it totally has to do with apocalypse scenario. It's like, you know what? You can't leave people alive like that, because... No. Then you know, or that, like, they know that you know their secret. If they happen to die, you're just going to have to kill them anyway, because they're going to come back as zombies, and then it's one more zombie you have to kill that could possibly kill you or your group. Like, it just... Yeah, I don't, I like, I guess I just logic it too much, and maybe it is because it's a video game, but I'm just like, nope, I'm going to have to kill you at one point or another. Either you're going to come after me, or you're going to be zombified, so I'm just going to kill you now and get it over with, and then I don't have to worry about you anymore.
Right, and I mean, part of the themes of The Walking Dead is, like, killing the zombies compared to killing the people. Yes. And, for me, like, I felt the need to show Clementine that, like, there's still some human decency left in the world, and, I mean, killing this guy may seem like a good choice, but I don't know. I didn't kill either of them. I think I was a bit of a softy when I played.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so here life, it says, revenge. Did you kill both of the brothers? And me and 82% of people didn't kill both brothers. But you can see, like, here, so Jolene is the crazy woman in the woods, and Larry is the father who, like you said, in the meat cellar, got his head bashed in by a Kenny, and then stole food from the car. So the only difficult, like, in my first episode of Choices, everything was pretty much 50-50. Like, there were, like, five hard decisions that you had to make.
Yeah.
In episode two, I felt like the story was really guided, and it made the choices really, really easy. Like, you could tell that Jolene was trying to tell you something. So I don't know who the 13% of people were that just shot her, you know?
Probably so, the people who are just trigger happy, right? Like,
yeah, like,
I see just, what you're saying.
From a story point of view, it doesn't make any sense to shoot her before she finishes saying what she's going to say, or at least takes a shot at you or something, you know? There was no real aggression. Like, you were invading her space and her camp, so... Yeah, she had Clementine's hat, but that was really it. Like, and it's just like, well, did you find this in the woods? We have been running from zombies, so maybe, you know, it fell off Clementine's head and she didn't notice or something, you know? Mm. There's so many explanations for that hat. So I just find that in episode two, there weren't any hard choices, really. And the only reason I didn't steal food from the car is there was one line where they said, you know, if we do this, we're the monsters that just came out of the woods and ruined someone's life. And I was like, okay, I never really thought about that. And then I kind of put myself in the shoes of, what if someone had done that to me, like, gone and raided the motel while we were having this cannibal thing going on at the farm? And that would have been awful. And then I would have wanted to go kill those people and called them bandits and everything else. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to do that. And the fact that Clementine was on the don't steal food side, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to take the food. Like, we will find another way sort of thing. So that was the only one that was remotely hard.
Yeah, and I mean, that's sort of what I was saying in terms of, like, showing that there's still, like, human decency out there. Like, you have the thing that Telltale does with this small child is mostly in video games, people are like, yeah, I'm going to do the punch him in the face option.
Yeah.
But having this small, like,
impressionable
little kid.
Yeah.
It's like, that's your go-to moral judgment. It's like, well, okay, what would this little kid do? And if this little kid watches me kill this guy in cold blood, that is going to affect her, you know.
Yeah.
Psychologically.
The way she grows up. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so I left the other brother alive, but one thing I don't like about the mechanics of this game is I find you can go for, like, 10 or 15 minutes at a time without having to do anything except for walk around and choose who to talk to or walk around and search a room. And then all of a sudden it throws you into, oh, now it's a shooter. Oh, now it's a punching game. And it's out of nowhere. And I get the zombie part, that zombies come out of nowhere. And even then, most of the time, it's like you center your mouse cursor, whatever thingy, on the zombie, and you kick him in the face, and then you try to get away, and it makes perfect sense, and the mechanics aren't hard to grasp. But in that fight with that brother, and I get that he's bigger than me and he's supposed to mostly overpower me, but, like, my crosshairs popped up and it just had two fist things on either side, and I'm just like, what does that even mean? I died twice in that fight because I was just like, I don't understand the mechanics of what you're trying to make me do right now. And I'm sitting there with my controller, because every other time it's popped up, there's been a little icon and then the button telling me what button I'm supposed to hit to do what. And it changes sometimes. Mm. So I was just like, am I supposed to go, like, XB, 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 XB to beat the crap out of him? Or, you know, like, left, right, left, right, left, right. And I tried a whole bunch of stuff and nothing really worked. And I was just like, I don't understand. And I'm not losing this game because I'm bad at it. I'm losing this game because it's not communicating well. And it's just throwing me into these action things with no explanation or tutorial or, you know, there is no punch button, you know?
It's, right.
And same thing with the start of episode 3 when the bandits attack and there's first bandits and then zombies. And basically they just hand you a rifle and all of a sudden you're looking down a scope and it's a shooter. And you have to, and it's, you know, again, I get that I'm not a sharpshooter, so it's going to be a little janky and it's going to take me a while to focus and it's going to be slow. Because that's probably what it would feel like to fire an actual gun when I'm not used to firing guns. But I just, like, out of nowhere to try to throw actual game mechanics into something that really is just a glorified choose-your-own-adventure TV show, I was just like, you could have done without this. Like, I wish I would have been happier with, you know, just 10 minutes of cinematic with a choice at the end. Mm-hmm. And just, like, show me the conversation options. Because, like I say, especially episode 2... very directed story. It didn't really feel like there was anywhere to go but where you went in episode 2.
Right.
So, you know, the I would rather 10 minutes or 15 minutes of cinematic and then at the end one of the big choices, like, do you shoot Jolene or do you not? Like, yeah. A or B, you know? So,
well,
that
I mean,
was one thing I really didn't like.
Yeah. I mean, it's an adventure. It's an adventure. It's the reimagining of the adventure genre. Like, back in the day, even before, like, I was playing video games on the PC, that's what you did in adventure games. Mm-hmm. It was just, you walked around, you clicked on stuff, you combined items, and you did crap. Like, the old Monkey Island games are probably the perfect example of how adventure games worked in the 80s and early 90s. But this is the reimagining. So there is that same walk around, click on stuff, talk to people. Mm-hmm. But then they add these like little action bits. And you're right, some work. Like the first one in episode 1 where you're on the ground, like grabbing the
with
shotgun.
With the babysitter?
Loading. That one too is really good.
You mean right at the very beginning with the cop. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean they're all... Episode 1, I think the mechanics are really... aren't very ambitious, but they're really cool. Like the stuff you do with the actions.
It worked. I felt like I was, you know, laying on the ground and, you know, fumbling with a shotgun shell and like, oh my God, do I shoot this guy? Oh my God, he's going to eat my face. Boom.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And you're right. Episode 2, they try to do a bit with the gunplay that I remember having issues shooting the bandits.
Yeah.
It's that stuff that's in there is just a way to move the story on. And you're right, I suppose they could have done like the cinematic, but then again, it's not an adventure title if you're not sort of controlling what's going on. Like,
yeah.
I think Telltale tries to put as much control in the player's hand, and I think that's the point of the adventure genre, is to give, like, you're technically being given choice. You know, am I going to kill all these bandits? Obviously, sometimes it's binary, right? You either kill them all and win, or you don't kill them all
and you die.
I mean, it's not like Mass Effect where if you're only able to kill 3 of 5, then Tally bites the dust, right?
Yeah.
You know, sorry to dredge up old wounds, but, you know, it's not as dynamic as Mass Effect, but I think they try to put as much choice. And usually each episode, there was one finicky mechanic where I would... get game over.
Yeah.
There's always one. And I think the one you're describing in episode 3 with the bandits, that was one where I did die. But I mean, I don't know. No game is perfect, but this game definitely has a lot more going for it. It doesn't completely, for me, ruin it. But you have to mention the bad with the good.
Mm-hmm. So there's one more quick thing that I want to talk to you about, and that was the last kind of decision point or thing that I had to do, which was the whole thing with Lily, who I really felt like I was starting to bond with in a way, and, you know, like I was kind of taking her side a lot and, you know, telling her we could kind of stay as long as possible, but we really should go, supplies are running out, you know, like I was trying to gently lead her to that conclusion. And then I sided with her with the whole, yes, somebody must be stealing. Like, I wasn't telling her she was crazy. I did the whole investigation thing and, you know, found the package of the bandit stuff. And it just seemed like then she got in the RV and she went absolutely apeshit nuts. And there was nothing I could do about it. There was nothing I could say that would calm her down. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the conclusion she came to. Like, I don't know if I... Did I miss something? Because she just starts accusing... Ben and Carly of, you know, either one or both of them together sending these supplies to the bandits, which I didn't necessarily think that that was a terrible decision. I mean, they outnumber us, they outgun us, you know, like, it's one of those things that we probably should have discussed as a group, but yeah. As a decision, it wasn't necessarily, it definitely wasn't bullet to the face worthy.
No.
But there was no talking your dad. Like, did I miss some big, huge piece of evidence that proved that it was Ben or that proved that it was Carly? Like,
well, I mean, there was no evidence, but I think Lily had an issue with them too, because Ben being the newbie, mm-hmm. not really knowing a lot about him, he's kind of a wimp. He doesn't really do much for the group. He just kind of sort of hangs out.
Is there.
Yeah, is there. And Carly, I think, is like, I don't know, the
her
other
kind of rival.
Yeah, the know-it-all kind of reporter. Sides with Lee all the time. You know, like, there's that, you know, jealousy. And her father did just get his skull crushed in by another survivor. So
but
that...
that was the thing, too, is that was Kenny. That had nothing to do with Ben or Carly. So I didn't really understand where this crazy came from, because she just directed all her crazy at the two of them. You know, I could have seen her saying, Kenny, you obviously don't, you know, understand the group. You don't talk to the group. You don't take other people's, you know, well-being into account. Case in point, you killed my father. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not taking the group into account here. You must have, you know, gone behind our backs and blah, 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 blah. That would have made sense to me. And then I could have been like, you know, well, you never agree or blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, she just turned on these two people out of nowhere. There was no evidence of anything. And then she shoots one of them in the head. And then it's like, do you want to leave her behind or do you want to deal with her later? I was like, bitch is gone.
Yeah, like, you can't. Again, it's the human decency thing. Like, you're not going to keep her. You got to get rid of her because she is just going to blow up again. And, I mean, I think the fact that she doesn't blame Kenny, you're right, though. He did kill her father, but I can't remember if that ever gets resolved. I think she's just kind of bitchy from then on out. But
she is, yeah, completely. Yeah.
But, I mean, Kenny has a family. And, I mean, maybe she just didn't connect the dots that, like, why would Kenny be giving away food when he has two mouths to feed plus his own? But you're right, like, that came out of nowhere, and that was one of the first sort of moments in the game where it's like, oh shit, anything can happen. And I've heard rumblings that Lily is in the comics. I don't read the comics, but I guess she's like prison.
I've only read I haven't gotten to the prison in the comics. I read the first two volumes of the Walking Dead comic, so it was basically the first two seasons.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think I read it online somewhere. But, again, I guess, like, I wonder what happens when you let her stay.
Well, exactly. Like, I mean, I haven't had a chance, obviously. I was actually really hoping that we'd made different decisions. I thought I was making the worst decisions possible because I ended up with so few people at the point that I'm at. So I thought I just broke the game. Like, I thought I was just losing.
Well, I mean, maybe that shows that it's kind of a guided experience. Like, we're sort of led to choose the same things. And even
especially
if we don't...
Especially with the two of us. Like, you and I generally make vastly different decisions in games, you know? Like, we, if there's choice involved at all, our choices are always different. You know, even to the point of, like, what quests we're going to go on next and, you know, what's important and what isn't. And, you know, we just have completely different mindsets when we play these kind of games. So the fact that you and I have the same outcome halfway through the game, because, like I said, I'm halfway through episode 3. So the fact that we are currently, if you looked at my game and looked at your game, they would be exactly the same halfway through. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyways, we have gone on for way too long.
Good
about
thing
the
you didn't
Dead.
Finish all five.
Exactly, because I mean, and it's very story driven, so there is a lot of content to cover, and I'm really glad that we did this talk, because do you want to just go right into quickfire news? We're running really long right now. Or do you want to mention your Zombie U?
I just want to quickly mention Zombie U. I did finish the game. We'll talk more about that maybe next week. But I did want to say I'm going to tackle Survivor Mode next. And because it's a play once, die, you're done, I'm probably only going to do it once, depending on how far I get. So my plan is to stream the experience, and don't have any solid times yet, but I will have those on Twitter and put some information on the website and forums. And even though it's streamed live, you'll be able to catch the archives as well. So look forward to that very soon.
Oh, we shall. So now it's time for Quickfire News. You're first.
We don't do the plug?
Oh, I totally skipped that. Oh, my God.
Don't do that.
I'm so sorry, guys. I totally missed this. Okay, so someone shouldn't scroll so far down in the notes and just assume that Ryan has nothing good to say.
I always have good things to say.
I know, I'm just teasing. So, this is the part of the show where we do the plug for our sponsor, Doghouse Systems, who is absolutely fantastic, and you can use the code THEGAMERSIN when ordering your brand spanking new computer, just like I did. And you can go to doghousesystems.com to purchase your new PC and use the code THEGAMERSIN, and we thank Doghouse for their continued support of the show. Now, on to Quickfire News.
Perfect. BioWare won't shut up about their new Mass Effect game. Recent comments reflect that we'll get more concrete info on the BioWare Montreal-developed title at some point in 2013. Also, we should expect a release in late 2014 or mid-2015. So, just around the corner.
If we get there.
Yeah, oh, we will. Alongside this news, a BioWare employee also shared that the Wii U seems to be catching more and more of their attention. Wii U is a console we feel is very, really cool and that more Mass Effect could look great on it. This sounds like a fake quote. So we do have plans for Wii U, but nothing to announce at this moment. Perhaps Wii U owners will be able to enjoy the newest DLC, Omega, that other platforms have had for a few weeks now.
The THQ Humble Bundle is finished and raised $5.1 million. The record-setting THQ Bundle, which launched November 29th, has now wrapped with a total of $5.1 million, and almost 900,000 people took advantage of this bundle, which included Darksiders, Metro 2033, Company of Heroes, and Red Faction Armageddon. Those who paid more than the average price, which ended up being only $5.76, which, totally reasonable, got Saints Row the Third, Warhammer 40K, and some DLC, and I think there was another title in there as well that I missed. The American Red Cross was THQ's charity of choice to benefit from sales of the bundles, and the amount of money going to either THQ, Humble Bundle, or the charity was at each user's discretion, and I was unable to actually find the percentages that ended up going to the charity and THQ, but lots of money changing hands, anyways.
I don't know if they published that information, but the $6 average price is usually...
I thought they did, but... Because they also used to publish which platform donated the most, like Windows users, Mac users, Linux, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they didn't this time, so that was interesting. Anyways, continue.
THQ. No, I think that's really great. Naughty Dog standing up against marketers. The Last of Us will see release on May 7th, 2013 on the PS3 and features a 14-year-old girl named Ellie as one of the main characters. Marketing for a game is very important, and most departments believe it's easier to sell a game when there is a scruffy dude with a gun on the front. On the topic, creative director Neil Druckmann stated, "I believe there's a misconception that if you put a girl or a woman on the cover, the game will sell less. I know I've been in discussions where we've been asked to push Ellie to the back, and everyone at Naughty Dog just flat out refused. The final art features Ellie front and center with the scruffy dude with a gun in the background. Way to go, Naughty Dog. You rock."
Valve launches the Steam Marketplace. I bet you're thinking, but Jocelyn, there already is a Steam Marketplace. I buy games there all the time, to which I say, but no, gentle listener. This is different. This is new. Now in beta and compatible with Team Fortress 2 alone, the Steam Marketplace allows you to sell your in-game items to other players for real money. Fees apply, going to both Steam and the game developer, which in this case is also Valve. Funds become available in your Steam wallet and can then be used for purchases on Steam. As far as I can tell, there's no way to get those funds out of the Steam environment, but I mean, come on, we all spend our spare monies on Steam anyways, right?
I'm loving Quickfire turning into TGI theater. It's great. What do you think? I think it's great. Yay! Bioshock Infinite. Bioshock Infinite getting a reversible cover. Irrational Games' Ken Levine posted the news on the company's website after the main cover art was revealed to much fan disappointment. but hardcore Bioshock fans, rejoice. You are being given an alternate reversible cover, and you can decide what it is. Go to the Irrational Games website and vote. You only have until December 19th, which is next week at some point. In other Infinite news, there was originally going to be multiplayer. However, it never left the experimental phase before being canned outright due to time constraints. Levine even described the multiplayer as extraordinary, which for a series like Bioshock, I wouldn't expect anything different.
The Secret World goes free-to-play. The MMO that released this past July has now gone free-to-play. It sells for only $30, which is an absolute steal given the comments I've heard from people who've actually played the title. There's a lot of innovations here, which when compared to a traditional MMO, including the ability to change your class and become a tank, a healer, or a damage dealer at any time you're not in combat. Very cool. Although a subscription is no longer required, you can still choose to pay to play and get bonuses. They are calling it a membership. Get bonuses not available to those playing for free. Bonuses include an XP booster, gift of the month, 10% store discount, and $10 worth of bonus points. Those can be spent in the store, going towards items in-game. A 12-month subscription will set you back $120, or you can pay in 1, 3, and 6-month chunks, which are obviously more expensive the less time you buy.
Rockstar wants to unite all the GTA cities. In Grand Theft Auto 3 San Andreas, you could fly to Liberty City, which was the Grand Theft Auto 3 city. Even though you were limited in what you could see, this was the beginning of an overall dream for Rockstar North to have all the GTA cities in one game. Rockstar North chief Leslie Benzies said, "At some point, we would like to have one big world containing all our cities and let the player fly between them and revisit their favorite areas." Sounds like a cool and ambitious dream. Next gen is just around the corner, Rockstar. Get cracking on GTA 6.
Microsoft's countdown to 2013 sales starts next week. Starting December 18th and running through the 31st, check out Xbox Live for all kinds of sales. Each day will have a different theme, starting with Modern Warfare 3 on the 18th and going through to the Elder Scrolls series on the 31st. Other themes include platformers, Lego games, Rockstar games, to name a few. Some, including the Boxing Day titles on December 26th, for those of you not from Canada, Boxing Day is the 26th, are still unannounced. Head on over to our show notes to a link to all the details, and these sales are really a do not miss. Which brings us to our topic of the week, which we are probably going to have to cram into about 10 minutes. But
just talk about the very frustrating stuff about it.
Yeah, really. We're talking the VGAs, which were this past Friday on Spike. So this was the 10th annual Video Game Awards, and it was the night of December 7th, like I said. There were all kinds of stuff, reveals of new trailers, reveals of previously unreleased games, like world premieres, performances, awards, all kinds of crazy stuff. So, Ryan, why don't you kick it off? What did you think about the, let's say, best DLC? Go.
Sure. Best DLC, Dawnguard. I haven't actually played Dawnguard, but then again, the runners up, like Mass Effect Leviathan, I think there was some Borderlands stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I think this is the most deserved, so I think it deserved a win. And one of the things about the VGAs is that a lot of people don't really hold it in high regard. Like, this thing's been around for 10 years, but it sort of feels like on par with a commercial, but not for video games, but more so for this fake culture that doesn't exist. And
yes! Oh my God. I'm going to stop you right there because I didn't actually watch the VGAs. Mm-hmm. I was, surprise, surprise, working. But I watched the first 10 minutes or so of the VGAs because you can watch the full show is available online, which is cool. It was also available on Xbox Live, which again, also cool. But they had Samuel L. Jackson hosting, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I mean, his whole intro was just like they were just flashing up lines from movies he's been in. And it was just like any line that he possibly ever said the F word in. And I was just like, okay, that's kind of weird. And then it's just like everything that came out of his mouth sounded so scripted and weird. And it's just like, no gamer talks like that. Like,
right.
What are you doing?
And
it felt just weird.
Yeah, it is weird. That's a great way to describe it. And again, this is the reason I suggested we talk about this, because it's sort of it's the closest thing we have to a publicized award show. Mm-hmm. There are actually awards given out for video games that aren't publicized because they are literally what we think we want on TV, with like get focusing on the games, having the creators come up and give big speeches, no mm-hmm. like commercials or trailers and stuff. It's just all about these games that have been out and yeah. are great. This is more a spectacle, and I mean, this one was much better.
Literally explosions.
Yes, but this one's really cool because in recent years they've actually had a live orchestra play the trailers, like music mm-hmm. as it goes, and the show has gotten better and better. I remember watching like way back when it first started. Like there was Ron Jeremy, who I don't know if you know who that is.
Yes, I know who that
Unfortunately,
is.
Unfortunately, a lot of people know who that is, but not because we've seen his work. It's just
yeah.
because
well,
for
we've
some
seen his work, just
no, I'm not. I've not seen his work. I hear great things. I guess I don't know. But he was dressed as Mario, and they made a "I'm gonna check Princess Peach's plumbing" joke. So
yeah,
and again, like Shigeru Miyamoto is just rolling around in his. Bed.
Non-grave because he's not dead.
God, please. I'm sorry. But yeah, in this year is much better. I actually laughed at one of the jokes. I caught the tail end of it because we recorded that night.
Oh yeah, that's what we were doing. I was like, why didn't we watch? I'm like, I wasn't working that late at night. Yeah, sorry, we were recording. Oops.
I caught the tail end of it, like the last hour, and there was a performance by Jack Black and Tenacious D, which was great. And I saw a few trailers. You don't like Tenacious D? That doesn't really surprise me.
Guys, continue.
It's an acquired taste, I suppose. And anyways, there was this really cool skit. They do these skits where they insert Samuel Jackson into games. And there was a Black Ops thing. I don't know if you've played far enough into the story of Black Ops, but this seemed like it was far in the game. And it's just like this scene where Michael Rooker is being held down at gunpoint and the main bad guy is there and giving a speech. And then all of a sudden, like, all the people die. All the bad guys die in front of the main bad dude, and the camera pans to show Samuel Jackson, and he just says, "I'm the real Black Ops, motherfucker."
Oh, God.
And I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
But that's about – this sums up the whole show in the sense besides the awards. So
yeah.
Dawnguard, best DLC.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, Dawnguard, best DLC. I can see that. I mean, seeing Joel play through Leviathan, I can also see how that would definitely be a contender. And I mean, DLC is just this whole thing with me that I'm not really a fan of right now, and just the direction that everybody seems to be going with DLC. So I mean, I'm glad that they're kind of, I don't know, I'm torn about this entire category with, like, you know, on one hand, I'm glad that they're getting recognition for stuff that is big add-ons to story. But on the other hand, I'm just like, why are these big chunks of story missing from the original game? So I'm glad that they're getting recognition for other work and saying that, you know, some of this DLC content is serious content, you know, it's not just this little itty bitty throwaway thing, but
on
the
subject,
at the same time.
Sorry, on the subject of DLC, I'm looking forward to hearing what Joel thinks about Mass Effect 3, because he is playing through Leviathan and the Extended Cut.
Yep.
Without
and Omega.
Having it spoil. Oh, and Omega. Well, there you go. That'll be interesting. We should definitely get him on to talk about that.
But okay, so best, actually, this is very relevant to what we were talking about earlier. Best female performance in a video game was Clem from The Walking Dead, which I completely agree with. I don't even know what the other nominees were, but I really thought that she was fantastic, as I mentioned earlier on in the show. So what do you think, Ryan? Deserved?
Yeah, I think I'm just looking at the rest of the list here, and Commander Shepard, Cortana, I think...
Cortana?
Yeah, no, Cortana, I would agree with you. It was fine, but I think the best performance given was Clementine on this list.
Definitely.
Like it's hard to argue.
Yeah. So, you know what? Let's leave the game of the year discussion to the end. Game of the decade, Half-Life 2. Fair enough. I haven't actually played Half-Life 2, but game of the decade.
Come on. You haven't played it.
No, I know I haven't played it, but I feel like there's a lot of games and yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
It's such a tough choice.
What was the criteria to even pick nominees for that? Is that like has been around 10 years? Is that because I mean, wow. Done.
I wouldn't consider. Well, see, it's tough. Like you can. It's impossible to name a game of the decade. And I think when you really look at it, Half-Life 2 is this like revolutionary PC title. You know, introduction of Steam. physics-based puzzles, the gravity gun. Like, there's so many things going for it. But you're right. Like, Super Mario 64. That doesn't make the cut, does it?
No, that doesn't make the cut.
2002. Game of the Decade, there's too many. This is the safe choice. When you announce that Half-Life 2 is the Game of the Decade, most geeks will be like, I can see that.
I can recognize, just because I never played it doesn't mean I can't recognize his contribution, and I can kind of say, yeah, okay, I can see it. But I mean, there's just so many.
But if you choose like Halo 2, it's like,
no.
I mean, Xbox Live, but not Game of the Decade.
No. One that you seem to have a real actual problem with here, which makes me happy because it seems like I'm the one who has all the problems and you're always just like, yay, everything.
Yay. So, character is the greatest.
Character of the year. Claptrap, you not a fan or just thought that there were more different choices?
You should note that this is user voted. So, I mean, yes. I don't blame the panel of judges for this thing. We're actually loaded with people I really respect in the game journalism industry. But this was user voted, and I hate most people on the internet besides our wonderful.
You hate the internet?
The internet is a awful fucking place, man. Like, it is just a cesspool. And Claptrap's a great character, but not character of the year. Like, it's not character of the year. Like, you must be able to name another character that is better than Claptrap. Claptrap's great, but he's not character of the year.
He was funny, definitely.
He was funny in Borderlands.
We don't have Borderlands 2, so I don't know. Vera voted. There we go. Character of the year. So, others were Connor from Assassin's Creed 3, Shepard from Mass Effect 3, Master Chief from Halo 4, and the dude from Black Ops 2, Raul Mendez.
If I had to choose, I would choose probably Raul Menendez from what I've seen on the YouTubes of what the stuff.
I would lean towards Shepard because I've played that all the way through. I've seen that story start to finish. I've played now both. I've played male Shepard partway through. Joel's played male Shepard through the Paragon stuff. I've played through the Renegade stuff. My Fem Shep was very straight down the middle. So I had some Renegade stuff, some Paragon stuff, and the story of Shepard and the character I thought was very well done on both sides, on both, you know, Renegade and Paragon. You know, it's so deep and there's so much there. Yeah. Master Chief and Halo, no way. Like, I mean, we all know how I feel about Halo. We know how you feel about Halo. But just in terms of when you're comparing story and depth of character, Shepard way deeper than Master Chief. Connor, again, I can't speak to Assassin's Creed. I'm not that far in the series yet. Claptrap was really funny in the first Borderlands, like you said, but, you know, he doesn't do anything. Yeah, he's not a deep main character.
You know, he just makes sounds and dances. And I mean, like, that's cool and all, but I don't get me wrong. I think Claptrap is a great character, but, like, I agree with you. Like, Connor, I don't know much about him, and I hear he is the worst Assassin's Creed character, which, you know, is not saying it's really bad. It's just saying he's like bottom.
He's the worst of a very strong series. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I can see Commander Shepard. I think as a character, he is sort of, especially this year, like I'm trying to think character of the year. I'm usually think like that should go to someone new, you know, like a brand new character of the year or someone who's changed this year. And I don't think Master Chief, I don't think Commander Shepard, they haven't really evolved this year. And especially with Mass Effect 3, I think this was maybe the weakest title for Commander Shepard. But again, like the weakest of a series of really great games.
Yes, yeah.
So don't hate me, Val. I know you're probably jumping at your iPod right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, really. So there was, I think, like I said, we're going to save the game of the year chat for right at the very end. So quickly, there was some new world premiere unannounced games. So Phantom Pain, Dark Souls 2.
Yes, Dark Souls tool, especially Souls 2, for you.
Yeah,
they say it's going to be more accessible
with a 10-foot pole. That stupid series is just stupid, and I am not going to say anything else about
stupid
that.
Stupid series is stupid. You've heard it here first. Now, yep. Phantom Pain is interesting because most people are believing that this is a hidden reveal of Metal Gear Solid 5. Which for Metal Gear fans is evidently really cool because supposedly Metal Gear 4 was supposed to be the last one.
That's what every studio says about every series it's of, not the ever, studio. Of all time.
It's Hideo. It doesn't even
matter. This always happens.
It's Kojima, man. He keeps saying that I'm done, I want to move on to other projects, which is fine, but he's like, he also doesn't want to pass the series on to other people because he thinks that he'll screw it up. You know, so you know, I can kind of see it. Like the main dude sort of looks like Solid Snake, so maybe we don't know more about it. But supposedly, it's like the company that's making it is fake, and the CEO is an anagram for Hideo Kojima. So, and he likes his little mystery, so we'll let him have it for a little bit.
Yeah, mystery. So there was also upcoming games that, you know, we got new trailers, new gameplay footage, all that kind of stuff. And so Bioshock Infinite, which is awesome, and I'm really looking forward to Tomb Raider. Again, really looking forward to. I think 2013 is going to be a really strong year. I think this show, the our Game of the Year discussion next year is going to be knockdown, drag out.
both those games are March.
Yes, yeah, which so, I find is another problem with Game of the Year discussions, and we mentioned this on our Game of the Year show last year, is that you kind of forget stuff that, like, Kingdoms of Amalur was this year, it was 2012, and you just totally forget about everything that was released, and that's what I said about Portal 2 last year, too. You know, everything that happens kind of pre-June, you just forget about. Nothing really that big releases in the summer generally. I mean, this year we had Guild Wars 2 and we had Darksiders 2 and, you know, there were some big releases in the summer, but that was kind of weird. You know, you don't really start the whole Game of the Year stuff until late September and then you get all the stuff coming out for holiday. And that's usually the stuff like, you know, your Black Ops 2, your Halo 4 this year, your Walking Dead, all of that stuff came out in the fall. If you don't release in the fall, people just kind of forget about you. And Mass Effect 3 was nominated for many of these categories, you know, for soundtrack and for, you know, all the cinematic stuff and Game of the Year and everything else. And I don't think they won anything, like, unless I totally missed it. But I don't think they won anything.
I think they may have won, like, one or two, but nothing, none of the main. I just sort of picked the main categories. And, I mean, on the topic of your Game of the Year, I remember that conversation we had a year ago. And I remember also stating that I'm going to keep a game journal of all the games I played. And I
you
did.
Didn't do that, did you?
I did. I have January through December of all the games I played, including repeats for each month, too, just to kind of keep track of what kind of span the month. So I don't know if that's going to help me
pretty
with game
interesting.
Of the year.
Yeah, it probably won't. But
but it's still cool to look at. Maybe I'll post that on the website and people can see or put a link to it. But
yeah, so the one trailer that I actually, that I watched because it was right at the very beginning, was the South Park trailer. And dude, this game looks so ridiculous and just, but I am a huge South Park fan. Like I really, there's some parts of South Park, like some of the Mr. Slave stuff and some of the poop. I'm just kind of like, you know, if we could just move away from that, I would be good because I find their political commentary especially is really, really good. So I don't know. I just...
Yeah. I don't like jokes that involve the butt.
Yes! I think that's probably it. It's butt jokes. That
specifically,
I'm just like, yeah, too far.
And like, the cheek stuff I could deal with, but as soon as you go any farther than that, like, mooning people is as about as far as I can go with butt jokes. I'm down for a good mooning, but after that, like, it's just, it goes downhill.
Yeah, so,
especially
but
with
I mean,
South
like...
Park.
Them, you know, pretending to be these, you know, wizards versus elves about fighting over this stick of truth and, you know, just they're bringing in a whole lot of things that they've had in the series. Because, I mean, God, they're, what, 20 seasons in or something crazy like that? And so they're bringing in care. Like, you see these little fan service bits all the way through the trailer of, like, you know, them having powers and them conjuring things and you know, just their powers have to do with, you know, tropes and things that have been thrown into South Park, the show. So it's, it just, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. So The trailer was really great, but again, like if they'd left out Mr. Slave, I probably would have been okay with that.
Yeah, that's it looks interesting. I'll probably wait for reviews because it's hard to tell. It looks funny, but it's hard to tell how it'll actually play.
And I feel like it's the kind of game similar to Walking Dead that I will play through just to play through for the humor and for everything else because I think it's going to be really fun and really interesting, but it's not necessarily going to be something I play for gameplay and mechanics. So I will get it, I will play it, I will like it, but I don't know if that'll have any, like, I don't know if the gameplay will actually factor in. If it's really good and really cool, then it will, obviously, but, you know, that's not why I buy a South Park game. Let's be completely honest.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. So that kind of brings us to the end of our VGA discussion. And so all that is left is their game of the year choice, which was The Walking Dead. So, Ryan, I mean, we don't want to give too many spoilers because we are, you know, going to have our game of the year show 2 weeks from now. So I don't know. Like, what did you think? Did you... I don't know. Just
it's hard to talk about without spoiling both our choices and also spoiling your experience of, I'm really glad you're playing the game in time for our game of the year discussion because it's definitely a special game.
It is. It's different. And I appreciate what's gone into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a story gamer. So normally a story driven game would be right up my alley, but as much as I am enjoying the Walking Dead experience, in a year where you come out with Black Ops 2, where you come out with Halo 4, where you come out with Mass Effect 3, Assassin's Creed 3, I totally forgot about until right now, but you cannot have games with that serious of like a level of story behind them and amazing mechanics and then tell me Walking Dead is game of the year. Like, no fucking way. Sorry.
You're allowed to swear.
I know. I had a little moment of like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, wait, I could totally do that.
I think it all depends on how you look at it. Like, it would have been easy for...
I haven't played all the way through, so, I mean...
Right. It would have been very easy for Spike to say, Game of the Year goes to Black Ops 2, sponsored by Mountain Dew and Doritos. Yeah.
I know. But I feel like, I know, especially last year, the VGAs took a lot of flack. Like, I mean, they're still doing the same thing. They're still pandering to this gamer culture that they think that exists. And they're not acknowledging the fact that not all gamers are the way that they think that we are, with the explosions and the we like boobs in our face all the time and, you know, we don't have a vocabulary past fuck, you know? Mm. So they're totally pandering to that still, but they took it was so much worse last year. And they took huge flack for weeks over the way that they treated the VGAs because, you know, everybody was just like, okay, gamers are not like this. Like, you have to stop. So they kind of came back and I feel like they almost overcompensated for that by not picking a more traditional hardcore title. You know, they picked something that was totally new. They picked something that was different. They picked something that came out over, you know, 3 months worth of time, which I also think helped with the hype, is it was like a TV show or, you know, like you had to wait in between. You couldn't just play through and forget the game existed. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like they almost overcompensated and so didn't pick a traditional title because they wanted to be like, oh, hey guys, look, you know, we didn't pick the one with the boobs, or well, we picked the one with the boobs, but they were rotten, so that doesn't count, right?
I see your point. And again, like, it's hard to talk about it without, you know, sort of spoiling a bunch of things. But I don't fault them for it. I actually think it was a great choice. I'm not saying that's my game of the year. I'm not confirming or denying. But it makes sense. Like, it's an experience we don't get. It's an experience of gameplay, story, and like just zombies that we don't get to experience, like, all the time.
It's not really gameplay though. You know, like, I understand it's a different kind of game and it's an adventure game and everything else, but I feel like video games have moved so far beyond that. And the parts that were actually gameplay were so janky and difficult and came out of nowhere and didn't fit in well with the rest of the title that I feel like there's so many faults in this title that it's just not deserving of Game of the Year. And like, the music was great. I didn't like the art style, but I can see how some people did. The engine is old. Like, it just, there were so many other more deserving titles this year, I thought. And I mean, and it wasn't even that strong of a year for gaming, you know? Like, there was, I feel like the 2012 titles don't necessarily stack up against the 2011 titles even, so, and especially when we see everything that's going to be coming out in 2013, like, 2012 kind of just felt like a lull in gaming for me. Mm-hmm. And then to pick, like, Walking Dead, I thought, didn't even stand up to the lull. And, yeah, I don't know. I was pretty unhappy with the way that they went with the Game of the Year choice, but...
Yeah. I respectively disagree, but that's the fun of this show.
It is, and we always disagree, so it's fine.
It would be a boring show. We say this time and time again. It would be a very boring and shorter show if we agreed on everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I see your points, and I think it's just a matter of preference, and the people on the panel probably, they play like every game that comes out, and this was probably their game that made them feel different. Like, the games you're describing are like, yeah, it's just like sequel, another shooter, another RPG, blah, 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 blah. And I think this game really just throws the curveball. And again, you're right. It's if the gameplay isn't there for you, if you can't get past that and you're just doing it for the story, then I can see you disagreeing with this. That doesn't bother me because I can actually, it's a valid concern.
I just feel like Game of the Year should be the best in all categories. It should be the best gameplay. It should be the best story. It should be the best graphics. And I feel like story, there can be arguments made on both sides. I do feel The Walking Dead is a very good treatment of the Walking Dead universe. And the story is compelling. And I want to know what happens to the characters. And so I can see them winning or at least being right up there with story. Mm. But then it falls so short for me on so many other levels that I just don't think it's deserving of the Game of the Year title. But I obviously, a lot of people in the industry disagree with me. So, I mean, maybe I'm just totally wrong. And maybe I'm just doing it wrong, as I seem to do all of these choice-based games wrong.
Unfortunately, it's just a matter of opinion. And, like, with a team of 20 people, you're not going to pick... Okay, the only way this would be the perfect pick for Game of the Year is if it was the only game that came out. So, like, that's the best way to sum it up right there.
Yep. So that pretty much brings us to the end of our VGA discussion. So we do have some listener feedback this week. Ryan, do you want to read our tweet from Simon Etwell, who is Dead75 on Twitter?
Yeah, he sent us a little tweet here and said...
This made me laugh.
Yeah, it made me laugh out loud as well. It's like he was at work listening to the Gamers Inn and was at work listening to the Gamers Inn, and I was enjoying it so much that I missed my last break. I blame both of you.
Yeah, that made me laugh. So thank you very much, Simon, for the positive feedback. And we encourage everybody to send us all kinds of feedback because we have a Game of the Year episode coming up. Mm-hmm. We have an anniversary episode coming up, and we want to hear from you, especially for our anniversary episode, which is episode 53, which will be next week. Exciting times. Next week, I know, right? So we will be recording our anniversary episode next week, and we want to hear from you with all of your favorite Gamers in of the Year moments. So write in.
So many of the years.
I know. I can't even keep track anymore, dude. So Twitter, Facebook, Google+, email, however you want to get in touch with us. Forums. There's actually a forum post as well. So wherever you want to tell us what your moment of the year is for us here at the Inn, we would love to hear from you because it's our anniversary and I'm excited.
And the forums are the easiest way to keep track of it. Let's be honest.
It really, really is because then everything's in one place. But, you know, whatever, however you want to get in touch with us, Ryan has something special to give you if you do.
Yes, we have Saints Row the Third code and a couple of Metro 2033 codes. One was donated by Iagovos.
Lovely.
If you haven't played those games, they are a tad older, but they are great games. Saints Row the Third is not that old, but...
No, it's not. It could have been up for Game of the Year 2012.
What? No, I think it was 2011. It was last November.
Oh, was it? Oh, because I played it late. See, those late year releases that just, they throw me right off.
Throw you right off.
So you can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com, where you can find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, @GISGamer. You can find Ryan @RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google Plus. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it is the best way for our show to reach new listeners. I haven't checked it in a while, so there might be new reviews, and if there are, we will read them next week. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can follow him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Jill Duggan of StarCrossed Online for creating our Twitter avatars and our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn and tune in next week for our anniversary episode. Yay!
Yay! 1 year.
1 whole year. Long time. Long time.
That is a long time. Are we still waving? Don't move. Whoa. My whole world is shifting.
Remember okay, that episode where
we had an earthquake? Yeah, that was fantastic.
Makeup, check, check. Hair, check, check.
Short circuit.
Apparently it was shocking him in the face.
One of the best movies involving robots ever made. Let's put it out there.
Shocking in the face?
No, short circuit.